talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. I was giggling when I was listening to Bandy Silk there on Mickey Lively's commercial there. I got his autograph this morning. I got Bandy's autograph finally. It's really cool to see him in person. He's a really cool guy. Anyway, currently, here's some weather conditions for you. Looks like we got 78 at Hollis, 80 at Altus, 75 at Bessie, 72 at Watonga, 73 at Arnett, 73 at Slapout, and 70 degrees at Helena and Ringwood. Out here in the Texas Panhandle, let me see what we got going here. Let me update it real quick, make sure. Yep, it was still right. 73 at Canadian, 78 at Odell, 76 at Wellington, and 74 at McLean, Texas. All right. Hope you guys are having a great day. It's nice weather out there. I don't even think the wind's blowing. Is the wind blowing? Yeah, a little bit. It's a little breezy, not too bad. Anyway, beautiful day. Looks like we have some rain on the way, storms on the way tonight and into tomorrow and Friday, which is good. We'll have a little more on that coming up later on the show. Today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I'll have more on the Taylor Ranch coming up next segment, but if you're watching on Facebook, I got my Taylor Ranch hat on. See it? Big yellow letters. Can't miss it. Matter of fact, I talked to Miss Tracy Taylor this morning. She's a go-getter. She loves her skid steer. She's out fixing roads and washouts and stuff, and she was having fun. I hated to shut her down to talk business with her this morning, but anyway, she loves her skid steer. Let's see what happened overnight in agriculture. Corn and soybeans were lower in overnight trading. Ample rain in much of the U.S. Corn Belt. And what I seen a while ago, they took a big dive today. Wheat futures were mixed. As much as 6 times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the past week in a large swath of land stretching from northeastern Montana, south into the Texas Panhandle, and east into the southern Minnesota. Still, parts of northern Minnesota, much of Wisconsin, and central and southern Iowa have seen little rain in the past 7 days. About 65% of the U.S. corn crop was planted at the start of the week, up from 49% a week earlier, and 30% has emerged from the ground, up from 12%, according to the USDA in its report this week. Some 49% of soybeans were sown as of Sunday, up from 35% the previous week. 20% has emerged, up from only 9% 7 days earlier. Traders are also keeping an eye on the Black Sea Grain Initiative, the agreement that allows ag products to be exported from Ukraine. It's going to expire tomorrow, and nobody's been talking. We know how all politics crap goes. Corn futures for July delivery fell 10.25 cents to 5.71 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soybean futures for July delivery was down 8.75 cents to 13.55 1/4. Soy meal dropped 60 cents to 4.26.30 a short ton, while soybean oil fell 13 to 47.32 a pound. Wheat for July delivery lost 3.5 cents to 6.44 a bushel, and Kansas City futures jumped 9 cents to 9.04 1/4 a bushel. Weather. Severe thunderstorms are forecast this afternoon into the evening in parts of the United States Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat is growing, according to the National Weather Service. Storms are expected to be in the western two-thirds of the Oklahoma and Texas panhandles. National Weather said this early this morning. While there could be some early morning storms to the north and to the northeast. The main severe threat for severe storms will start in the late afternoon across the west and central areas. Damaging winds will be the main threat. Some small hail and localized flash flooding due to heavy rain are possible. The storms likely will continue into Thursday when large hail and damaging winds are in the forecast. Flooding continues on the Mississippi River along the Iowa and Illinois border. According to the maps of the Weather Service, National Weather Service, eastern Iowa and northern Illinois likely will see showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night into Friday morning. So that's what's happening in our Ag Belt. Let's get an update on the markets right now. Everything is in the red. Only thing that's not in the red is cotton. How about that? And oil and natural gas. Corn is down over 22 right now at 559 for July. September's 498 and December's $5 even. Soybeans down to over 22 also. It's at 1341 for July, 1281 for August. Soybean meal for July, 426.90. It's even today. So far, August is 418.10 and September's 404.30. Hard red winter wheat for July, 893. September's 881. Oats, 339. September, that was for July. September's 342. And cotton for July, 83 cents. And so is October. And sugar's hanging in there around, I don't know, somewhere for July around 26, a little over 26 cents a pound for sugar. So anyway, rumors have it, I heard this morning at the Super Round Table, rumors have it that, my man Sugar Daddy over there in the Delhi area, he's, he was growing sugar and he's switching slowly over to pineapples. Rumors have it that he might be throwing some black-eyed peas in there under a pivot somewhere. I don't know if that's going to be around Delhi or closer to Sayre. I don't know. But information from that table can be a little sketchy sometimes. And he was really upset this morning because he had to buy coffee. So, I don't know. His information coming off there, like I said, some of that information is pretty sketchy in that round table there. But anyway, if I hear somebody purchasing or planting some black-eyed peas, I'll make sure I let the public get directions to where they can go pick some later this summer. We'll see how that works out for everybody. Well, let's take a break, a Taylor Ranch break, that is. And when I come back, we'll talk some cattle prices and futures and report from the Woodward Livestock Auction yesterday. Looks like the culling rate is starting to slow down in my book, but we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's been said that Jimmy Clark is the only man on the planet who can slam a revolving door. Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 12th. 1,293 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 244 brought 322. 3 at 457 brought 270. 5 at 554 brought 232. 6 at 599 brought 237. 3 at 687 brought 208. 12 at 691 brought 196. 4 at 945 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 380 brought 234. 3 at 490 brought 228. 4 at 526 brought 217. 6 at 541 brought 218. 13 at 542 brought 223. 6 at 692 brought 170. 18 at 900 brought 176. Butcher cows were 43 to 105. Butcher bulls brought 70 to 125.50. Bread cows were 860 to 1475. Pairs brought 575 to 2500. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Hour. I picked Goodland, Texas for your Texas weather update on the second segment of Today in Ag. 78 degrees, humidity's 57, dew point 61. The winds are out of southeast at 7 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 10. Peak wind gust so far today, 14 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation in Goodland is 2.03 inches of rain. They got some really nice rain through there. Red flag minutes, none. Sub-freezing minutes today, zero. It was cool this morning, I will say that. 8-inch soil temperature is 71 degrees at 8 inches deep in Goodland, Texas. So there's your update. All cattle are not the same, just like in people. Our genetics determine our traits. Some people are tall, some short, some have blonde hair, and so on. It's the same in cattle. Cattle are not the same genetically, especially when it comes to making a good steak. Some cattle just make better steaks than others because they have the right genetics. Taylor Ranch has been working on their carcass genetics for over 17 years to develop animals that excel in both flavor and tenderness to give you that mouth-watering best steak in your life eating experience. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served at their own table. That's Taylor Ranch beef, selling quarters, halves, or whole beef. Third-party verified, all-natural, and hormone-free, also available. 405-609-4662, 405-609-4662, to order your beef, quarters, halves, or whole, or a couple of them. Get her stocked up. It is summer. You need to be stocked up, especially with some homegrown, locally processed beef right here. They get her processed at Burns Flat, Keith's Butcher Shop, majority of the time, and it's good stuff. Don't believe me? Call that 405-609-4662 number and try it out. They're good people, Tracy and Jimmy and Jose. Anyway, all right, let's see what else we got going here. Beef. Live cattle, June, 164.62 for June. August, 162.72. October is 166.75. December is 170.52. Feeder cattle for May, 204.65. August is 230.97. Lean hogs for June, 84.95. July is 85.35. It updated on me. I lost my spot. I had one more to go, and you had to do that. August, 84.50 for lean hogs. Okay, let's see what happened up there in the big metropolitan area of Woodward. Where is it? There it is. I got you. Yesterday at Woodward, 373 heads sold compared to 520 last week and 745 a year ago. Compared to last week, slaughter cows, $3 to $5 higher. Slaughter bulls, $2 to $5 higher. Demand was moderate. Slaughter cattle, breakers. Looks like they had almost 100 head of them, and the average weight was anywhere from 1319 to 1340 to 1438. And they sold, top end was 116.50, and low end was 101 on breakers. On boner cows, they had about 40 head, and they was weighing anywhere from 937 all the way up to 1340. Looks like the top end was the 1322 average weight sales. There was 13 of them, and they brought average price of 104.89 with a high end on boners 107.50. Lean cows, they had about 20 head there, went anywhere from 905 to 1067, and their average price was were anywhere from 9207 to 9723. Bulls, they had 40-something head there, and they were weighing anywhere from 1493 to 1946 with 2,235 pounds, being the biggest bull sold yesterday. And the average price on them was from 108.86 all the way up to 122.34. Top bull yesterday brought 125.50. Stock cows, medium and large ones, they had 17 head that was 2 to 4 year olds. Average weight 944, brought a buck 25, and they had some 5 to 8 year olds, weighed 965, was 107. Bred cows, 2 to 4 year olds, weighing 905, brought $1,000. Some 2 to 4 year olds, weighing 1195, brought $1,400. And some, what do we got here? Some 5 to 8 year olds, weighing up to 1240, brought 1410 on the bred cows. Cow-calf pairs, they didn't have very many yesterday, but they had 7 2-to-4-year-olds that didn't weigh very much. 866 was the high end. Their average weight was 767. They brought 1585 a pair, and the calves were less than 150 pounds, and they didn't have much else to go there. So that was your, that'd be your update from yesterday. And then let me find out where my Dr. Peel went. That's got to be him right there. This is from Professor Daryl Peel at Oklahoma State University Extension Livestock Marketing Specialist. Persistent drought in major beef cattle production regions continues to have a significant impact on the cattle industry. Despite improvement in drought conditions in other parts of the country, the USDA and the NASS released two reports recently that indicate that forage challenges continue and central in the southern Great Plains. The weekly crop progress reports include range and pasture conditions in each state from May to October each year. The U.S. average of poor to very poor pasture conditions in early May was 37%, less severe than 1 year ago across the country. The first week in May showed the worst pasture conditions measured as percent poor and very poor are in the states of Kansas at 64%, Nebraska 68%, and Oklahoma at 54%, and Texas 52%. Kansas and Oklahoma are in significantly worse shape this year compared to last year, with poor and very poor ratings of 41 and 39% respectively 1 year ago. The Nebraska rating slightly improved from last year at 68 versus 73%. While Texas is least bad compared to the 74% they had last year, and that's in the poor to very poor rating. I remember Texas was, Western Oklahoma wasn't much better, but Texas was one big dark red object on the drought monitor. The latest monthly crop production report from NASS also included the December and May 1 hay stocks. For the beginning of the hay crop year, May 1, U.S. hay stocks were down 13.4% year over year and were down 26.4% from the 10-year 2012 to 2021 average. Compared to the 10-year average in Kansas, May hay stocks were down 25.5%, Nebraska 51.6%, and Oklahoma 62.3% down, and Texas was down 41.3%. Not only were the May 1 hay stocks very limited in states, but continued drought is impacting the 23 hay production. On average, the state of Kansas, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas account for about 21% of the United States hay production. That's countrywide. These states rank number one. Texas, Nebraska's number four, Kansas is number five, and Oklahoma's number seven for hay production in the last decade. Reduced hay production this year in the region has implications well beyond the borders of these four states. These four states account for 9.3 million beef cows on January 1st of this year, just over 32% of the U.S. total beef cow herd, and include four of the top 10 beef states: Texas number one, Oklahoma number two, Nebraska number four, and Kansas is number six. Delayed, slow, and limited pasture and hay growth in these areas is likely still provoking some cattle liquidation. Total beef cow slaughter through April this year is down 11.2% from last year's elevated level. However, it is likely that reduced beef cow slaughter in drought-free areas is masking some additional herd liquidation in the worst drought areas. In Oklahoma, for example, the auction volume of cold cows and bulls is up 21.9% year over year for the first 19 weeks of 23. The most anticipated herd build, rebuilding, and correspondent market conditions in the beef cattle industry cannot begin in earnest until drought conditions ease significantly in these major beef states. Let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, I got some peanut news for you. And hey, I heard rumors at this big round table, you know, and like I said, some of the information is sketchy coming from there, but some guys are starting to plant some cotton around, so it's good to know. We'll have to prank call one of these days here in the near future, catch them on the tractor planting cotton, see what they're doing. And anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Mickey asked the questions. He wanted to make sure things were properly insured as far as values, not to be too high necessarily. You know, a lot of people are probably going to try to get them on up there where the premium's higher, and Mickey wasn't that way. He wanted real values, didn't want me paying any more premium than I needed to pay, but wanted me properly insured. If you start missing things by $1,000 or $10,000, that adds up in a hurry. Either you'll be underinsured and you'll be disappointed, or you're going to be overinsured and paying too much premium anyways. And Mickey made it a point that we nailed it on the head on every little last piece that I had. He took the time to do that. He made sure it was right. My name's Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Jimmy Clark's calendar goes straight from March 31st to April 2nd because nobody fools Jimmy Clark. A good afternoon to Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, May 15th. 1,065 head were sold, 12 head of steers at 591, brought 219, 22 at 689, brought 222, 4 at 774, brought 205, 12 at 861, brought 184, 9 at 898, brought 188, 34 at 900, brought 189, 41 at 968, brought 187. 750. Four head of heifers at 453 brought 221. 14 at 559 brought 218. 7 at 767 brought 188. 13 at 787 brought 196. 3 at 790 brought 186. 53 at 856 brought 182. 74 at 892 brought 179.10. Butcher cows were 64 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 97 to 139.75. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction exit 71. Clinton, Oklahoma sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Hour. I have picked Freedom, Oklahoma for your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast. Currently at Freedom at 73 degrees. Humidity is 57. So is the dew point. 0.02 inches of rain in the last 24 hours. I didn't even know any clouds come into Oklahoma in the last 24 hours. Anyway, it's 8 miles an hour wind out of the east southeast. Sunset will be at 8:38 today. Mostly sunny, 80 degrees, hardly any wind. If so, be out of the east tonight. 30% chance of storms tomorrow. 60% chance of storms. 78 degrees tomorrow night. 90% chance of rain showers. 64 low. 50% Friday, 72 for a high. Saturday looks beautiful, partly sunny and 74 degrees with no winds. And same thing Sunday, 76 degrees, a little cloudy. Not bad, but it's going to be nice. And no winds. All right. Before I get to the peanut news. Actually, it's kind of weird. Twice today I've been asked about moss, and we went over them last Friday, I believe. Anyway, Kansas has reported a big onslaught of Miller moss, we call them, and so is Eastern Colorado, Texas Panhandle, and of course, I don't know about Central Oklahoma, but Western Oklahoma. I opened that barn door down there at Willow yesterday, and I thought it was a swarm of bats coming out of there, but there is. The Miller moth is the term given to any type of moth that is abundant in and around homes in Colorado, Oklahoma, Kansas, parts of Nebraska, and Texas. It's sometimes a serious nuisance, and this is the year. This is the year. Some years it's a nuisance, and this is one of those years. Army cutworm moths have a wide wingspan of 1.5 to 2 inches. It's generally gray or light brown with wavy dark and like markings on the wings. The wing patterns of the moths are variable in color and markings, but have a distinctive kidney-shaped marking on the forewing. The army cutworm has an unusual life history. Eggs are laid by the moths in the late summer, early fall. Most eggs are laid in weedy areas of wheat fields, alfalfa fields, and other areas where vegetation is thick, including turf grass. Eggs hatch within a few weeks, and the young caterpillars begin to feed. Army cutworm has a wide range of plants on which it feeds. It prefers broadleaf plants like alfalfa, wheat, all that good stuff, but will also feed on grasses. Army cutworm spend the winter as a partially grown caterpillar. You guys remember, what, a couple months ago, 2 or 3 months ago, I posted a picture of them army worms just crawling all over that patio out there, and they was coming out of that. It warmed up that day, and they was coming out of that Plains Blue Stem grass there by the barn house. Anyway, cutworms may damage crops, and you know they will, particularly alfalfa and winter wheat. They might also damage garden plants. I've seen them crawling out of tomatoes before and are in common, very common in lawns. With high populations occur, they consume all plants. They may take on the army worm habit of banding together, crawling across fields or highways. Army cutworms become full grown by spring. They burrow into the soil. They got between 3 to 6 weeks later, the adult Miller stage of the insect emerges. Next, they migrate, and that's what they're doing right now. They are migrating towards the mountains. They're going to higher elevations, and that's what's happening with them. That's why we're seeing so many right now. They migrate mainly in the dark. Matter of fact, almost 100% in the dark. During this time, they are, what are they doing? They are in a physiological state during which they do not produce or lay eggs. In the early fall or late summer, they return to the lower elevations and begin to lay eggs, repeating this annual single generation life cycle. Miller moths are the migrating adult stage of the army cutworm. In eastern Colorado, spring flights move westward. And that's what these guys are doing here in Oklahoma and Kansas. And they even go up into Wyoming. They head to, you know, they're just migrating back this way. A little explanation for the migration is that it allows the moths a reliable source of summer flowers. So they're following the spring line. During outbreak years, and I think this is one of them, Miller moth flights typically last 5 to 6 weeks. So if your moths just started hanging around your place last week, guess what? It might be July 1st before you don't see any more of them. Exactly when the flight occurs and for how long varies. During the 1991 outbreak, high populations were present from early May through mid-June. However, in 1990, a year that also was above average for Miller flights, heavy flights were not noted until early June and lasted about a month. So it's just one of those deals. The caterpillar stage of the army cutworm has many natural enemies. Predatory ground beetles and many birds eat cutworms. Adult millers may be eaten by bats or birds. Because, you know, that's the old farmer deal when you're, especially in the fall, when your wheat's coming up and you see a lot of birds, you know what's happening. It ain't good. So anyway, there's the deal. That's what's going on right now. And this has nothing to do with clothes moth. These are not clothes moths that you're seeing right now. Clothes moths are about a third of the size of army cutworms, the Miller moths we call them. And you will never see, hardly ever see a clothes moth. They will only fly in the dark. And unless one lands on your nose in your bed, you'll probably will never see any till it's too late. When you put on your nice shirt to go to church and got a hole in it. What caused that? So that's what that's all about. Okay, let's see what Mr. Tyrone Spearman has to say. Peanut farmers are in the field planting their crops right now. I've seen some peanuts are already up, and the export market is still very busy on selling the old crop. Here's Mr. Tyrone Spearman to let us know what the worldwide market news looks like for peanuts.
Peanut farmers are in the field now planting their crop for this year, and the export market is still very busy on selling the old crop. The market news worldwide says the U.S. origin is a real option for Europe for its 22 crop because it's got excellent quality, no aflatoxin. There should be a substantial volume available for shipment through December. New crop could be an option as we are planting at this time, and it may be rising as much as 10%, despite USDA's production forecast of 6.7%. On the other side, the crop is not even planted yet, not totally. The weather during the summer will dictate the yield, the production, and quality of that 23 crop. U.S. shellers have had numerous interests from Europe this past week. Shellers welcome those interests, especially the ones for want to buy 22 crop. Considering the lack of interest from the domestic market, it's very quiet. European Union buyers are saying they're buying 22 crop shelled goods for April to December shipment. The continuous demand from the export market is increasing rapidly due to the Argentina crop situation that's making prices go higher considering what happened in Argentina. A drought, an early freeze, and now they've got wind damage on that peanut that has been dug. That's the world market news, still quiet on the domestic side. I'm Tyron Spearman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, Mr. Tyrone Spearman. Well, let's take a Taylor Ranch break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden long-range forecast for you. Guess what? I'm going to tell you a little bit about certified Angus beef expands offering with grass-fed beef. How about that? We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow. It gives them a little relief knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around western Oklahoma. So the other side of our business is we fuel fracs. We have an automated system that we fuel fracs. We go through so much volume of diesel that we get a good price on it. It's just like anything. The more you buy, the cheaper the price. So we buy so much volume that we get a better price, and we're allowed to move that over to the ranchers and farmers. Our whole thought process was, you know, we're making money with this. Let's start fueling some farmers and move that price break over to them. Yes, price is the first thing, but reliability, knowing that when you call and ask someone to show up, they show up, do what they say. I really am prideful about doing what I say. I want to always be there. I want people to call me and know that I'm going to show up and do what I say.
My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed and corn, forage sorghum, and Milo. Advanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Advanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Advanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Mornings were made for better things than rheumatoid arthritis or RA. Zelgen's tofacitinib is a pill for adults with moderate to severe RA when tumor necrosis factor blockers did not work well or could not be tolerated. Zelgens can help relieve joint pain, swelling, and help stop further joint damage. Zelgens can lower your ability to fight infections. Don't start if you have one. Before and during treatment, your doctor should check for infections like TB and do blood tests. Serious, sometimes fatal infections, cancers including lymphoma and lung, blood clots, serious heart-related events, tears in the stomach or intestines, and allergic reactions have happened. People 50 and older with heart disease risk factors have an increased risk of death. Tell your doctor if you've had hepatitis B or C, have flu-like symptoms, are prone to infections, or have ever had a heart attack, stroke, clot, or other heart problems, or swelling of lips, tongue, throat, or hives. Ask your doctor about prescription Zelgens. Visit Zelgens.com or call 1-844-ZELGENS.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Man, I was just looking over some of these text messages from Tradio. Man, Bobby Martin would be happy. This guy texted in. He didn't say, I got a bunch of telephone poles. He put in, I have a lot of older power poles, South Sayre. And anyway, he used the proper word, power poles. And then, I don't know, it's just kind of funny to look at some of these text messages. Let's check out some weather. I have picked nobody right now, but I'm getting ready to. Let's go with Mangum, Oklahoma. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden weather forecast. Long range, 80 degrees, it feels like 81. Dew points at 60, humidity's at 51. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. Hopefully that changes here pretty soon. Winds are out of south southeast at 7 miles an hour. Sunset will be at 8:35 tonight. Mostly sunny, 84 today. 40% chance of storms tonight. 50% chance of storms tomorrow and a high of 85. Tomorrow night, it increases to 70% chance of thunderstorms, 62 degrees. Chance of thunderstorms all day Friday at 50%. Friday night, chances go away, but still 20% chance. Saturday looks just beautiful with north winds at 77. And then Sunday, 80 degrees, south wind, 6 to 10 miles an hour, and mostly cloudy. And I looked on down the range, and man, it just... I don't know if it's going to rain any next week or this week. They're showing chances. Don't get me wrong. It's all prediction. But next week, there's already 40, 50, 60% chance of rain all during the week. And I know we need a little bit of a dry spell to get some hay put up. But guess what? We haven't had any rain all winter long. So we just need to deal with it and enjoy the rain. We need some runoff. We need some pond fillers. I know a few areas, small spots that got it, but we need some water in the ponds going into the summer big time. Okay, as I said right before the break, certified Angus beef expands offering with grass-fed beef. Consumer demand for high-quality beef has been a long-time sales driver for certified Angus beef, ultimately increasing demand for superior Angus genetics, and they've done a great job of doing it too. As consumer preferences evolve, the brand is growing to provide some premium beef for every liking, and now that will include a grass-fed option. Certified Angus beef, grass-fed by the Neiman Ranch. While our core focus has remained on the quality of our traditional product, we recognize that there is a growing consumer interest in grass-fed beef, says John Sticka, president of Certified Angus beef. This product will represent a small portion of total sales, but it's an important addition that helps us meet the needs of consumers who have different preferences while offering them high quality beef they expect from us. The Certified Angus beef grass-fed by Neiman Ranch product will make up less than 1% of the total CAB supply. A niche product, the grass-fed natural beef will initially only be available through a few exclusive restaurants and grocery stores. Consistent with all certified Angus beef brand products, the grass-fed beef must meet all 10 specifications to qualify for the brand. With marbling necessary specification to guarantee flavor and tenderness in beef, exceptional Angus genetics are key. John Torpoff, I think that is the second vice president of the beef for Neiman Ranch, knows the value of high marbling Angus cattle. He attributes the consistent, well marbled, certified Angus beef grass fed product to the right genetics, quality pasture for ages, forages, and top notch animal care that minimizes stress. He notes that the CAB has long heard the request for certified Angus beef grass-fed product, But it wasn't until now the brand could offer a grass-fed program that includes the brand's specifications. We're always looking for ways to meet the changing needs for our consumers, he said. This collaboration with the Neiman Ranch allows us to continue offering choices to consumers at the meat case and on the restaurant menu without compromising quality and taste. Although availability of this new product is limited, it's a great piece of CAB's business maintaining being relevant to the marketplace and driving demand for Angus cattle. How about that? That's interesting. That'll be cool. I'll have to try some of that. What else we got here? Oh, we talked about it earlier this week, the Proposition 12 ruling. But here's an article on it. It's what's next for pig farmers. In 2014, Northwest Iowa hog producer Dwight Mogler and his family built a new hog facility to house his family's 900 sows. They used then state-of-the-art technology and animal welfare practices, including group housing for sows in response to growing consumer demand and individual maternal pens for breeding and farrowing to protect the animals from other sow aggression. A problem when sows are not pregnant and are vying for attention and territory. That type of facility is not compliant with California's Proposition 12, which bans the sale of uncooked pork in the state from offspring of sows kept in pens with less than 24 square feet of space per sow. According to Rabobank, the current industry standard is 14 to 20 square feet. The required pen size is to allow for the animal to turn around, lie down, stand up, and extend their limbs. He estimates it will cost between $10 and $20 per pig produced to add facility space. Retrofit pens, feeding systems, and increased labor to play playground monitor to break up fights and protect animals. That doesn't factor in the anticipated lower conception rates and decreased productivity from lameness and disease. The National Pork Producers Council, the NPPC, estimates the cost will be at $3,500 per sow. A University of Minnesota study puts the cost of the facility to be converted be at $1.9 to $3.2 billion industrial wide. California accounts for 15% of the U.S. pork consumption. None of Mogler's buyers will guarantee a premium on hog he supplies because the meat may not be sold in California. However, some have granted a grace period, not requiring compliance until their 2 to 3 year contract is due for renegotiation. He also sits on the MPPC board of directors, fears this may be the straw that breaks the camel's back for many producers who have operated under stressful economic forces, including the high cost of feed since last fall. These are the most challenging economic times the industrial has seen for 20 years, he said. As Proposition 12, Prop 12 as it is known by, 62% of California voters in 2018 passed this. The measure was promoted by animal rights activist groups. Imagine that. Anyway, they've been fighting it. Here just the other day, though, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to uphold Prop 12. Justice Neil Gorsuch, penning the decision, said California voters overwhelmingly endorsed the ethical pork law in 2018 and have the right to decide what products appear on their stock shelves. So what now? Some producers, like fifth generation Missouri pork producers and NCCP president Scott Hayes, may choose not to comply. As of right now, we're not making any changes in our operations with the help from veterinarian partners. We are experts in raising pigs, and we have decided that it's not the way we want to do it. We like to give our animal individual care. For others, the California standards have seen is a market opportunity, like some smaller producers who have never used individual pens. Large retailers and chain restaurant chains are demanding change in response to the growing demand for humanely raised meat, and major pork producers like Hormone and Tyson's are preparing to comply with at least parts of the law. Hormone said many of its products are already Prop 12 compliant. But the concern, it goes beyond pork. Having the safest, most abundant, and most affordable supply in the world is a foundation to American way of life, says Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Nick. Iowa's the nation's leading pork producer, and followed by Minnesota and North Carolina. The Supreme Court's decision undermines the firm foundation. While the ruling is focused on ag production, it will certainly creep into other industries. That's what worries me about this whole deal, is California, they got this by, and now the East Coast is probably going to fly high and mighty on some stuff like this. But you know what? As far as I'm concerned, just open up a meat store on the state line out there between Arizona and California and Nevada. If Californians want some humane, which is already humane raised, if they want something more humane to eat, go to the border and get you something to eat. I mean, it's crazy. These guys are going to go broke fixing these pens. And I understand California buys 15% of the pork that's sold in the United States, there's going to be some pork producers go down and go broke. It ain't going to happen. But anyway, I don't know. Sad world we live in. Next, they'll want 50 acres per cow to have a calf in. So, I mean, I'm not joking. This crap is getting out of hand around here. All right, last thing for the show today. Global grain shuffle. Is it the end of the United States grain export dominance near? Yeah, we've been teaching everybody else how to raise it. It didn't start with the swing of an axe in the Amazon or explosion in Ukraine. While both are those contributed, the shift happening in the global grain flows is hanging on with the picture of the future grain delivering. It's continuing to evolve. This year, Brazil could take the crown of being the world's largest corn exporter, said Dan Bass, president of Ag Resource Company. It took the crown for soybeans back in 2017. Right now, it shows Argentina is second with Brazil in 2021. And Ukraine on corn, this corn, United States was just far by the big boys in that. But in 2021 to 2022, Brazil took over the soybeans, and the United States is not far behind. And then we had others had a little choice of the pie there. But this feat was set in motion by the United States drought in 2012, as higher prices encouraged more acres and pushed buyers to seek alternative supplies. While Ukraine has helped to fill some of that demand, the ongoing war and the just bad infrastructure damage will make it hard for Ukraine to reclaim former volumes for some time. Ukraine, no matter what happens with the war from here forward, we'll probably see corn and sunflower production 40 to 50% below normal. The corn crop will probably be in the range of 18 million metric tons. Of course, that's only possible if negotiated shipping corridor remains open and transport vessels are willing to haul grain to its destination. It's exceedingly unlikely that Russia will pull out of this agreement simply because their allies, China, India, and Iran, have a strong interest in keeping feed grain flowing, said Matt Roberts. He's a senior grain analyst for with Terrain. So here we look into the 2021-22 global exports market shares. The United States got a pretty good-sized piece of the pie, but Argentina and Brazil are not far behind, and actually Ukraine had a pretty good size part of the pie, and then the rest of the world had one little piece of the pie, but U.S. was the biggest piece, but I don't think so, not so more. As Ukraine's production sputters amid war, labor shortages, high fertilizers, and all this, it's just going over. The Russian wheat crop is a record. They're estimating over 100 million metric tons, and they will export wheat way cheaper than us. Well, you guys have a great day. Thanks for listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on the Tater Ranch Happy Hour. Happy Cap Hour. We'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.